to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 196. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is with me, and we've got a very special guest as well. Friend of the podcast, Danny Austin. How you doing, brother?
It's good to be back, boys.
I'm glad to have you back, and I'm glad to have just a room full of award-winning Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Thank God.
Danny Austin is a man of my own kind. You know, we've been working all day, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But we've been working all day, and we said, you know, it's time to sit down and do a podcast. And we had dinner first because it had been a long day. We're like, you know,
good dinner.
Let's get some food. It's, oh, we had a great dinner, man. We had a steak dinner, which was awesome, man. We splurged a little bit on the steak dinner. And then we said, you know what, let's go stock up on a couple frosty beverages because we're going to sit down and do the MMA Roadshow. Cole Coffee had some work to do, so he ran upstairs. Myself and Danny Austin, we jumped in an Uber, went to go get some frosty beverages.
Our Uber driver would not break the law. I want to be clear. I'm the most law-abiding citizen.
He didn't speed.
It was this lady. She was super nice because she was, yep. I mean, she was joking with us and we were having fun with her. But yes, she would not. She was like, we were trying to show her the shortcut of how to get into this hotel, which, by the way, is the Los Angeles Airport Marriott. This is the host hotel for USC 232. But, yes, she wouldn't go the shortcut way that we showed her because it involved turning left over a double yellow line, which I'll be honest with you, I did not know was illegal.
No.
You cannot turn. Now, I understand, like, if you're on the highway and it's a double yellow line, like, you can't get over into the other side because you can't pass. But, I mean...
And it was, what, 300 feet from where we were?
Yes!
And yeah. There were two cars lined up to cross the double yellow line, and she was like, I can't do it.
I'm not convinced that's a real law. No. I'm thinking she might have made that up.
I wasn't going to argue with her.
I think it is. I think if you have a I think if you have a solid line on your side, you're not supposed to.
I'm not convinced.
I know the solid line and then like a dashed on the other side.
I thought that was for like crossing into oncoming traffic to
right,
pass.
Like if you're trying to pass somebody, I get it. And that's a solid recommendation because usually it's put in a place where you can't really see ahead of you.
Exactly.
I mean, we're at a stoplight where I can see 50 feet in front of me that the light is red and there's nobody coming.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but
WO lines are not to be routinely crossed either, but is allowed when making left turns into driveways, alleys, and businesses.
And Marriott is a business.
Marriott
as far as
is
I can
a business.
Turn, so.
God damn, you know what? She was just trying to jack up our rate. She got at least an extra like 10, 15 cents
by
driving around the property. But no, so we go to get the frosty beverages, and Danny's our guest this evening, so I walked in and we jumped in and I immediately grabbed saw the award winning Pabst Blue Ribbon there, grabbed 2 12-packs, and Danny said, you know what? Just to be safe, let me grab another.
You grabbed the third one?
so we're stocked up with 36 beers for this this podcast this
and
evening.
And you stepped it up. You had the Rolling Rock last night, which, while a college staple, is not quite as tasty as the PBR.
They didn't have PBR at the store. It's also worth noting, just to add to like the heroism of my night,
right.
I smoke, which is not the point. That's not heroic. But I grabbed my smokes, and the guy didn't put in the PBR.
That's right. We put the two up there. I paid for the two, and he's like, I'll pay for the third one, right? But when I pulled the two away, I don't think the guy registered that I had pulled 2 12-packs off the counter.
So he was only going to charge me for the smokes, and I said, no, sir, there's another 12-pack here.
But
it was on the ground, though?
No. He put it – so I had two in my hand, and at that point, Danny puts his 12-pack up there, but I guess the guy had turned around to look for the cigarettes. So, yes, at that point, we could have very easily jacked a 12-pack of PBR.
Karma rewarded you by the Uber driver that would not break the law.
I'm too honest, really.
That was very Canadian of you, sir.
Well, thank
you.
That was very Canadian of you.
Given what happened in the parking lot before we got the Uber.
Oh.
Like, I know this is a lot of just traffic talk right now, and this is probably not.
You know why you tune into the – it is the road show. We got to talk about what happened literally on the road.
We were checking air pressures of cars.
I literally like – I don't know how to describe what happened, but John got in the car to say hi to a former UFC employee.
That's right.
And a bus needed to turn in the parking lot. And the former UFC employee was just like, nah, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying parked where I am.
The former UFC employee may have had a cocktail or two.
Yeah. And John was like, yeah. You could just go around, and everyone started yelling, and I was like, "This is the most American thing I've ever seen. We don't do this in Canada. Like, we don't do this."
It was pretty funny. It was pretty.
There was
funny.
No reason why there was any conflict.
There was a confrontation just brewing in the parking lot.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I just backed away.
It's excitement.
Danny was literally just like, he was literally like that gif of like the popcorn on the side. Like that was literally Danny's like, "This is amazing. This is incredible." Oh, man. So that's been the start of our evening. All right, let's just get into it, right? UFC 232. What a crazy experience this has been, right? I mean, basically, fight week has started and ended today as far as the pre-fight stuff. Now, of course, we get into the weigh-ins and all that tomorrow. But, I mean, normally when we sit down to talk on a Thursday night, you know, we've had a day of interviews. We've had, you know, media day. I mean,
Open workouts.
Everything was literally packed into one. And, you know, we started out this week thinking that we were going to be in Vegas. I mean, for Cold Coffee myself, this was going to be a home game, right? This was going to be, you know, hopefully a Ballast Point home game because love Ballast Point. Got to get back with them in 2019. But, you know, we were going to be chilling at home. And I guess let's just start there. I mean, I get a call on Sunday, right? I'm sitting at home on Sunday. I'll just bear it to the world. It was noon. I had not taken a shower. I was just watching football, basically. I mean, I was hanging out. It was my day off. And I get this phone call, and the phone comes up, and it's Dana White. And I said, "What the hell is Dana White doing calling me on a Sunday?" I'm like, "This is bizarre." I'm like, "Is he butt dialing me on accident?" Like, what happened here? So I pick up the phone. I'm like, "Hello?" And Dana was like, "Hey, listen, got something going on? Are you available?" And I'm like, "Yeah." Bob was like, "I'm just chilling in my house right now." He's like, "All right, man." He's like, "Do me a favor. Grab your stuff. Come up to the office. I'm about to ruin your Christmas." And that was the line. I'm like, "What? What can he do to ruin my Christmas?" And I was like, and then I started thinking, like, "Oh my God, what could it be?" And so immediately
this Steven Morocco guy has written an article that I'm finally over junkie.
I'm so tired that I'm off on a Sunday. So it's a Sunday and it's my day off, but I'm like, "All right, well, obviously, you know, something going on at the office. We'll go up there." Grabbed all my gear. Wasn't sure if I was going to be able to film. I mean, I had no idea what was going on, but I was like, "Yeah, I'm going to grab all my gear just in case I could roll a camera. We're going to roll a camera." Myself and I showed up before Kevin Ioli. Kevin Ioli was invited as well. Show up to the office. Get in there. I mean, it's empty.
And I'm not to interrupt, but yeah, I'm assuming like Okamoto was in Denver.
Yeah,
because like
you got to assume ESPN, Brett Okamoto, yeah. Las Vegas would be.
I mean,
invited.
I know he was in Colorado. So like,
yeah, he was with his family.
People were out of town.
Like, I haven't asked what Adam Hill was doing. He must have been out of town too. Because
he's doing
think
Golden
Adam,
Knights right now.
No, that's right. He's more on hockey than MMA now.
Well, he's kind of like me.
Review Journal's kind of backed off on their MMA coverage.
That is true. That is true. Because those were the two names immediately. I thought, like, that's weird. That it's just me and Ioli. But again, it was holidays. Yeah. I mean, it would have been very easy for me to be so like, "No, bro, sorry, I'm in Texas. I'm with my family." You know what I mean? So it was just the two of us. We went up there, and I wasn't working that day, so I reached out to Matt Erickson. I said, "Hey, listen, just to let you know, here's what's going on. I don't know what the deal is," but it was funny because.
But you know it's something.
Well, here's
like,
immediately Matt Erickson goes, "It's Jones, right?" And I'm like, "I mean, that seems the obvious play, but maybe not. You know, maybe there's some other things out there. I mean,
even that they wouldn't have like if it had just been a normal. I mean, I say normal, that's terrible, but if it had been Jones popped, he's off the card,
right?
They wouldn't have called you in.
It's true. It's very true.
They might have given you, like, an interview over the phone or whatever. But, like, in order to, like, we need to do damage control where we have people in front of cameras.
Yeah.
That's, like, a weird one.
The only other thing that I thought, the only other thing that popped into my mind was, like, they bought Bellator. That was the only other one that I was like, this would be a big enough thing on a Sunday.
I could see that.
That they'd want to talk about it.
God, that
and
would
I'll
be
just
crazy.
Be very, like they announced, like, they're going to announce that on a news day that they can dominate because it's a huge
fair play.
Like they're not announcing that on December 23rd.
Fair play. That's true. That is true. So anyway, I go to the office, show up. There's nobody there, but I walk in and we go in to Hunter Campbell's office and Hunter's there. Who else was there?
Nowitzki.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Before I even get to Hunter Campbell's office, I'm actually walking towards that way. Dana's assistant is like, "Oh, hey, good to see you. It'll be right this way." All right, she said, "Do you mind waiting for just a second?" I'm like, "Of course. You know, I'll wait." And so I waited just a second, and I see Nowitzki walk out. And as soon as I saw Nowitzki walk out of Hunter's office, literally the first thing I said, I kind of saw him, and the first thing I said was, "Oh, fuck." Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you just, like, at that point, it's like, yeah, it's Jones. It's got to be Jones, you know? And it was bizarre. So then we walk in, and you know, Nowitzki didn't say anything to me. He heard me, and he like made eye contact with me, but he just walked by. And then we get in there. Yeah, Mark Ratner was there. Craig Borsari was there. I mean, everybody's there. And it's funny because we're waiting on Kevin Ioli to get there, and we're just kind of making small talk. I mean, I have no idea what's going on at that point, but kind of knew. And there's this uneasiness in the room. Like, there's everybody's kind of watching. There was, like, a Steelers game. Like, there was NFL football on. Everybody's, like, kind of watching, but you can tell, like, nobody's actually really watching. And, you know, I guess they wanted to save until they knew what was going on. And I was just kind of making small talk, and it was like, so, did you guys plan on working today so you could take Christmas off? And they were like, no. So I was like, all right. So literally, finally, you know, Dana comes in and sits down, and literally the first moment that Dana sits in is, if you've seen the video that we shot, it's on YouTube. We shot on MMA Junkie as well. It's, you know, the first words that Dana says is, we're moving the car to LA, and that's all we knew at that point. I mean, like, we had no idea. So I hope Kevin and I did a decent enough job reporting. I will say there's some stuff on there, and I kind of contemplated playing the audio this week, but I don't know how. I mean, it seems a little bit boring or whatever. The conversation was longer, but some of it just didn't make any sense for video whatsoever. So I don't know, man. I think we tried to do the best we could, and I think if we might have missed some stuff. We might have.
I thought you guys did very well in a borderline impossible situation.
Yeah.
If that stuff is thrown on you, and they're bringing up science, like,
yeah.
When John said none of us speak or none of us have opened a chemistry textbook, of course we haven't. But I also I can do a little bit of research and figure out what these drug testing, you know, things are about. You guys didn't have any time to do any research. It was thrust into you, and I honestly it's sort of impossible to throw or to hold a guy's hands to the fire like Nowitzki when he's been doing this for 30 years. That, he knows what he's talking about, and we don't.
And I will admit that, man. And maybe it's a fault of my own. Maybe I need to do better, but I do feel very. I guess uneducated is the right word. I do feel very inadequately educated, I guess, when it comes to get into deep conversations about pictograms and,
and I knew it was wrong, but I didn't know what the right word was.
And polygrams and whatever. You know, I do feel inadequate because I won't pretend. But I feel like if you really want to be knowledgeable about that, it almost has to be all you do, man.
I mean, if we're in sports, right? So a large part of our job is we cover the same thing every day. We're beat reporters, you know, even if and therefore we can normally react pretty quickly. But news reporters, they get an assignment, they do their research, they make the calls, they ask the questions. None of us, today is the day that Jeff Nowitzki should have had to sit on stage and answer our questions. And instead he went and did the Joe Rogan podcast, which ultimately probably reaches more people than any of what we do.
Oh, that's
not
real, yeah.
I fully
Joe's
understand.
Like the number one podcast.
But Joe's
right
not
now,
a journalist, right? He has conversations with people. That's the only thing I think was mishandled. But look, they did go and sit there, and they did give journalists the opportunity. Whether you were equipped to do a deep diving scientific interview, the point really at that point in the week was, how are you guys relocating this to L.A.?
Yeah.
How is this going to work logistically? We'll figure out the rest later because we're going to have opportunities to ask you guys further questions about the policies and what's going on here. But, I mean, in terms of, me approving of your journalistic integrity, which is not why anyone's here.
Speaking
of journalistic integrity, I mean, a man with rainbow-colored socks has...
I'm wearing my pride socks.
Serious integrity.
These are my pride socks.
That's some strong integrity.
But I will say that, I was grateful. The UFC has bungled a lot of this week, but the fact that at the very least they did have journalists...
Yeah.
They're... to ask some questions, credit to them for that.
Rather than shooting a statement or something that, you're saying?
And they haven't shied away from it at all. They didn't try to pull the same bullshit hey guys, we've already had statements, we've already talked about it, don't bring up the doping thing, or don't bring up this here, you know? They've been taking it on the brunt. I mean, I think all we can do is keep asking, and if people start clear, I mean, he made a good point too. He's like, just reach out to Nowitzki, you know,
Right.
We're trying to get scientific answers where, you know, even the little bit we saw of the Rogan show, Nowitzki's reading off of a piece of paper for some of the study. Even he has to refer to, you know, written things that are written down. So Dana and John Jones, for God's sake, are not going to know the fine details. But it just felt weird that, you know, that the question was going to come up to Jones, that it didn't feel that they had sort of prepped for it in a degree. Like, and that only made me kind of think that Jones isn't quite sure what the understanding of why this fight was able to keep going. They gave him a sort of answer like, John, we get it. You didn't fail. You didn't piss hot again. But this is what's going on, and this is what we believe is happening.
Well, and
you know, and I think he's just hook, line, sinker, right, and then trying to just spew it back out.
So you bring up a good point, Danny. This is what I'm curious. Now I hadn't even thought about this before we sat down. But so as we were sitting in line waiting to get into the media session today, I did pull up the Joe Rogan podcast because it started like while we were in line and watched a little bit of it. And as you said, I mean, he's not a journalist, but I will say Joe, from what I saw, did a pretty good job of asking very educated questions.
I think,
man,
Joe knows his stuff, 100%.
Yeah. So, but I hadn't even thought about that, you know, because Dana, and I get it, and I've told this before, and I've said this before, and I will say this about Dana. I mean, Dana will answer pretty much any question, but I think some people have to realize, like, Dana doesn't know every aspect of this business. Like, there are so
He shouldn't many, be expected to.
And he shouldn't be. That's what I'm saying. So sometimes, you know, there are, you know, people want him to comment on stuff, and I get it. I mean, he's, like it or hate it, he's the biggest star in MMA, right? I mean, he is. So you want him to comment on it. But I think people forget sometimes that, like, dude, like, there are so many moving parts in this business that he doesn't know everything in this business 100%. So when he stood up there today and said, listen, I don't know, ask Jeff, like, I didn't take that as, F you, we're not going to address that today. I did think he was saying address Jeff. But what you bring up is a very interesting point, Danny. Should the UFC have had Jeff there instead of on Joe Rogan? Now, As you guys said, I mean, Joe Rogan reaches a bigger audience. So at the end of the day, maybe you're better served to have him on Joe Rogan. But I mean, should he have been there? Because, you know, when this whole thing happened around UFC 200, you know, Jeff was there and Jeff was available. Like, would it have been better to have Jeff Nowitzki there?
I think that they would probably admit in retrospect, because I don't know if we're fully on to the press conference right now. I know that's probably going to be something we talk about.
Yeah.
But, like, I do think that it was a mess today. I think that chances are UFC staff would admit at this point that, like, they should have had Nowitzki get up there and answer some questions. Like, of course,
it might have not been a bad idea. Now, you
did the best equipped.
I could see where they didn't want to have him there, because let's be honest. Like, you even talked about the length of the press conference today was roughly 40 some minutes. If we also had Jeff up there to actually answer and start breaking this shit down, you'd easily add 20 to 30 minutes, and you would never get to the co-main event.
And there were fans there today, I don't want to say fans wouldn't want to hear it,
right,
but I feel like when there's fans in attendance, it's more just like a rah-rah thing. Like, right, oh, let's cheer and yell. Like, does anybody really want to hear deep philosophical drug testing questions from
We
Jeff
all
Nowitzki?
Remember, I don't know what event it was, when the USADA just did, it was off the record. They brought a bunch of journalists and we all just, like, spoke to Jeff, and, like, he did the presentation, tried to walk us through as much as he could about USADA processes.
That was pretty cool.
And all that. I actually think it should have been on the record no matter what today.
Too. I agree.
But
I recorded it.
I know.
I recorded the whole thing.
So did I.
And I have no idea whether I still have that recording. But we didn't use it. I mean, that was really the point of that agreement. But today's press conference shouldn't have been longer than half an hour anyways. I'm glad that it went longer, but given what was happening at the press conference, I'm shocked that Dana didn't cut it off.
Yeah.
But B, it would have been very, very easy to tell people, hey, if you're there, it started at 2 today.
Right.
They could have said, hey, at 11 o'clock, every accredited journalist, send out an email, which they've been very bad at this week. Jeff's going to be there. Yes, it's going to involve a little bit of security. Yes, it's going to involve staff. But you guys are going to have 10 minutes to ask him questions. And
that would have been nice.
Just get him done.
10 minutes.
It's a scrum.
A 10-minute scrum, and at 10 minutes, he's leaving regardless. That would have been nice. And you know, again, let's be very, very honest. The UFC has been scrambling. I mean, they've been scrambling during the holidays. People that were expecting to be off with their families. So, maybe it just didn't cross anybody's mind. Like, I don't feel like they try to hide Jeff. You know what I mean? I don't feel like they try to tuck him away. Like when Dana says, get with Jeff, I feel like he is saying,
he could be around tomorrow. You never know. Something could still pop off tomorrow.
It would have been nice. And should say, I guess, one of the reasons for the lateness of today and the way the day was handled is, and I will say this, I thought this was kind of cool. So there was a lot of discussion of how the USC was going to get everybody from Vegas to L.A. They chartered a jet. And I thought, I know this is a tiny little detail that probably most people don't give two shits about, but I thought it was pretty cool that they actually did make sure that they did two flights. Basically, the plane came from Vegas to L.A., back to Vegas, back to L.A., and they made sure that no opponents were on the same flight. Because they're always, the USC is very careful about that. You know, blue corner, red corner.
And they had the whole
stay
plane
away
to
from
themselves?
Each other. Yes, and they chartered the whole plane themselves, and they made, because I thought, you know what, if they're chartering a fucking jet, they're just going to be like, dude, okay, John, Alex, y'all are on the same plane. Be on your best. Well, we know Alex took up Vance. That's a bad example. But you know what I mean? Like, hey, guys, this is a unique situation. Like, you guys are all on the same plane. Like, be adults here. You know, because the USC, and I will say, not all organizations do this. They go out of their way to make sure that, you know, that paths do not cross, schedules do not cross.
And we've all been there for on sales in cities where, like, typically they bring in the main event fighters. Yep. And those main event fighters do not see each other.
That's right. It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, so anyway, I thought that was kind of cool. So that was one reason everything had to happen so late today. And again, this whole thing happened over the holidays. I mean, I was talking to USC staff on Christmas Eve, on Christmas Day. So I don't know if they just didn't think about Nowitzki or if it just...
I don't blame any of the staff, but this is a situation where transparency, like, I don't know that transparency has ever been more important than it is in this situation.
True.
Because there is, no matter what, a perception out there that, and I actually do genuinely believe when Nevada is like, had we been able to get a public hearing in before, had we been able to get the commissioners together, we probably, like, what the UFC is saying is that Nevada would have sanctioned this fight had they had time, but their regulations mean that they have to have a meeting to approve it, and they couldn't do it. California has been dealing with John's case, so they were willing to do it. But there is still a perception that, like, Nevada, which typically sets the rules in combat sports, said no, and California was the easier one to get this sanction in, so that's where they went. And for that reason, if everything is above board, which I generally believe that it is, this is a shit show. But I don't think that they're going off book here. I think that they happen to have the Inglewood Forum open, and they tried to save a card and do the best that they could. And the truth is, I feel horrible for the probably couple thousand fans who were going into Vegas, but there are going to be about a million people who do get to watch these fights. I understand why this is ultimately the best solution to a bad situation.
Yep.
But transparency is just how you get through it all, and they should have taken those steps to ensure that Nowitzki was available. It would have been.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about the. Let's talk. Let's go back a little bit. The decision to move this fight. Now, you know, again, I talked to Dana on record. Talked to Dana off record. You know, I mean, I was fortunate as this was all unfolding. And it was crazy. And I should say, by the way, while we were there on Sunday, like, people are scrambling around taking phone calls. I mean, again, you know, I was one of the questions I asked was, you know, have you talked to Alex about this? And they're like, we can't get a hold of him. He's on the helicopter right now, which we've, you know, since seeing the whole Grand Canyon flight and all that, they're like, we can't get a hold of him.
So did they talk to you guys before Alex?
Yes.
Can't believe they let Alex go up.
I didn't know helicopter that.
Oh, yeah. So that's the whole thing is that, like, and this is weird, too. So, like, you know, like, Megan Anderson and Cyborg, I think, have both said, like, it's just kind of weird that, you know, I heard about this from social media. But at the same time, like, what I'm saying is that, like, it was literally unfolding as we were there. It was still happening. They were still getting things finalized. Like, people were rushing off to take phone calls.
Was this stuff
people
embargoed while you were doing it?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Exactly.
So that's different. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they were like, hey, listen, as we're doing this, and then we're going to go live on SportsCenter at this time, and you can publish your story at that time. And so it was embargoed while we were talking.
And was that – like, Alex got the information before the embargo ended, presumably.
No, there's no way. Yeah, I was. There's no way. Yeah, because that the so Dana Dana and Nowitzki went live. If I remember the time exactly right, so the first call I got was at noon. I got to the office around 1. If I remember right, the time they told us was 3:30. By that time I was still at the office. I left. Yeah. And Alex, in fact, I was still at the office as the hit, and Alex hadn't been there. And like, that table that you see Alex sitting at,
where you were.
That's literally where we were. So he was like, yes, the story was out. And I had texted his manager, Nima, who was a good friend of ours. I had texted Nima Sefaport to say, hey, does Alex want to do an interview? And he didn't hit me back, and I was like, when I texted him, I assumed that Alex, like, he probably knows. Like, they can't, but I didn't realize that Nima was actually on the helicopter with him. So none of them had that, and they were like, "There's no cell reception there, so we can't get a hold of anybody," you know. So, I don't know, crazy. All right, so here's what I say: the decision to move, definitely a business decision, right? I mean, it's definitely a business decision. And talking to Danny, you know, I'm like, "Why make this call? Why do you do this?" And what he said is, because it's the right thing to do. John Jones had a full camp. Alex had a full camp. This is the right moment. And I do believe that he believes in the best interest of the fighter. I do believe that to a degree. I mean, like, Dana does, like, he loves the sport. He loves, you know, the fight game itself. But that's not the reason you jump through hoops, right?
No.
I mean, you don't jump through hoops just because it's the right thing to do by these two guys, right? I mean, this is they said straight up they're losing $6 million. So is that a $6 million gamble that the pay per view does better with John Jones on it, or
yes.
Yeah.
I think yes.
Yeah.
I mean, like, okay, a couple of things. First of all, I had one opinion, and I generally still think that this was largely a mistake and they should have eaten some of the losses. And I think that Cyborg Nunez was a good enough fight. You brought up to me that, like, look, people paid a lot of money for floor seats or to be in that arena to see John Jones.
Right.
So fans are getting screwed if you cancel John Alex and keep the card in Vegas.
Yeah. Before I left, my wife was like, she was like, so I was talking to my wife, you know, because I was supposed to be in town, you know, we're shooting the shit, or whatever. She's like, hey, how are people taking this? I'm like, it seems like they're pissed. They're hating it, you know. And she asked me, she said, well, what if they'd have just canceled the card and, like, had the fights here at T-Mobile, but, you know, put Cyborg and Nunes as the main event? And I was like, I think they'd still be pissed, right? Like,
the thing is, it's
because you're paying top dollar.
Well, they have to, like, they do have to offer refunds if the main event.
They do. Yeah,
they do.
Yeah, they do.
So there's money to be lost no matter which way you go, but I don't know. I mean,
how many pay-per-view that buys do you think Jones fight? Because it's what?
How much does it do this Saturday?
It's 100,000. So if it's roughly $60 for a pay-per-view,
right?
That's 100,000 buys is $6 million.
And they only get half that.
So if
they get a little.
So
more
if the cost to move is costing them $6 million or whatever, so that's 100,000 buys that they need to recover just to cover the cost of the $6 million.
Well, no, but they only get half of that. So really, you need a
200,000
buy difference. Is this a 200,000 buy swing is what you're saying?
Right.
Is Gustafson Jones adding it to this card versus taking it off? Is it worth 200,000? Absolutely.
I agree. It's probably a 200,000 buy swing.
And then you figure if they want the profit, they probably want 400,000 buys
just
to double it.
I bet this is a 500,000 or 600,000. Again, I'm not a pay-per-view expert, man, but I just go from that, like, kind of gut feel.
Yeah.
My gut feel tells me this is like a 500,000 or 600,000.
Oh, I think it's bigger.
Bigger?
Yeah.
And I think if it was Cyborg Nunes, you're talking about, what, 350?
300,000 to 450,000.
Yeah. So I think
it's a good card.
Back.
I mean,
I think they made
I do not think, I want to be very clear, I do not think this was part of the calculation. A week of people talking about how this fight was big enough that the UFC had to save it by moving cities doesn't hurt either, because people are hearing. I don't think it was part of this why they did it. I don't think.
No,
but it doesn't hurt.
Isn't that the weird part about this business that is, like, almost sucks? Is that, like, when stuff is terrible, it's great. You know what I mean? Like when you're spending a week talking about Conor McGregor throwing a dolly through a bus, it's great. You know what
it's
I
great.
Mean? It's
the
so
the fact that the organization never punished him for it.
But
which is still crazy.
But
that's how great shit is.
With
that's
this,
how great
it's almost,
controversy is.
It's almost a simpler calculation. I mean, you know, you've helped a buddy of mine through a promotion, not
right.
through the UFC, get tickets. And, like, part of why he's excited about this fight is because
shout
he's been
– shout out to Nemirov Vodka.
Yeah. But he's,
except for the honey pepper.
I'm willing to give it another shot.
But he literally wrote me being like, yo, are you coming to L.A. now? He hadn't heard about the fight. He just heard that the UFC was coming to L.A. because they couldn't afford to lose this amazing fight.
Yeah.
And he
so
was
he didn't
like,
even know the fight was on there? He just knew that they were coming to
I
LA?
Mean, he would have figured it out by the end of the week, like, once the media picked up. But, like, he did not know on December 24th that John Jones and Alex were fighting on Saturday.
All right, so let me and I mentioned this to you, Danny. So this won't be like me dropping some kind of knowledge bomb on you, but I don't think Cole Coffey, you were around at this. So we were talking about this exact thing earlier, and it's like, why would the UFC jump through hoops to do this, right? They admit they're losing $6 million. They admit, like, they knew the controversy that they were going to have to deal with. I mean, it's not like they made this decision. Everybody goes like, yeah, it's not like they were like, you know, we could just move it to California. I bet nobody would even notice. I mean, they knew what they were going to go with. All right, so check this out. In a moment of clarity, and they're rare. They're rare for me in a moment. Normally, my days start out.
It's called sobriety. Yeah, in a moment of sobriety.
Normally, my days start out in a haze as I try to recover from the night before, and I'm just pounding water until I'm rehydrated enough, and then I start dehydrating again. In a moment, somewhere in between that bell curve right there, I said, you know what? What if we're all playing checkers and they're playing chess? And the reason that they're willing to jump through hoops to say this fight is because if John Jones wins this fight, they do John Jones, Daniel Cormier next year. And they know that Daniel Cormier is on a timer, man. He's ticking down, and you may be able to talk him past 40. Maybe you can't. I mean, maybe you try to do it on March. And we've heard, like, the Brock Lesnar is going back to WWE, and maybe that's not happening. Maybe this is all kind of smoke and mirrors. It's not really about saving 232. It's about making 235 or International Fight Week next year the bomb-ass trilogy of John Jones versus Daniel Cormier 3. Now, am I crazy, or is there maybe something to that?
Both answers. You are batshit crazy, and it does make a lot of sense. And I do remember you chatting about this earlier, yesterday, whatever. It does make a lot of sense. I mean, especially because I saw a tweet somewhere where somebody was questioning DC on his timeline to retire, and like, you know, aren't you retiring? And he was like, nope.
Oh, really?
I thought I saw something like that look on our Slack timeline. I thought Bon posted something where somebody said something to DC like, aren't you retiring in March? And whatever. And it was just a quick little no or something. So obviously he wants it, and obviously whatever Jones is saying is still egging on him, you know, because I think it's one of those things that probably is weighing on DC, that if that's a check mark. He wants at least know for sure that he can't either get that win or whatever, and maybe he feels heavyweight's the right one. But it does make a lot of sense that they would be setting that one up. But I don't know. I mean, that's a good way of putting a spin on this whole crazy sort of shit show. Like, they're like, okay, by keeping this forward, it keeps moving forward. But even if this didn't happen, if DC really is still open to the idea of sticking around a little bit longer, I think that this probably could have been postponed and that fight will still happen at some particular point. But the way that they're doing things right now with the whole fucking ghost UFC event that's going to be put somewhere, the UFC 233, wherever that's finally going to happen.
How did he step up there today and say it wasn't canceled? Yeah, it was.
234 is already on the books. It's like, what's going on? Well,
the weirdest part about that is he then followed it up because the fans were all like, oh. And he was like, guys, it's a journalist. I'm not talking trash to him.
I know.
And it was like, you talk trash to journalists every time that you talk to journalists.
I think part of that, too, is I think they legit were having hearing issues up on the stage.
They were.
Even like the whole thing with Jones is like, put something in my head, you know, or whatever. I think they were legit having issues, and Dana has hearing issues anyway, so I think
he is legitimately deaf.
Whatever like was reverberating back up there, I think they were just having issues, so it probably just sounded
but that is a pet
like
peeve.
He just heard like,
they,
like
will, they go out of their way, like kind of like we were joking last week about the weight descent term that they're floating out there now. Like they have always
to people about, we did talk about that.
They've always gone out of their way to say that.
Can we talk to you about the weight descent?
No, I haven't heard anything about
that. Oh, yeah, dude. On our podcast last week, we talked about it. That's their new thing. It's no longer a weight cut. It is a weight descent.
A weight descent. They want to work with fighters on their weight descent.
So this is funny. But they do a great job of setting it. And like we mentioned last week.
What does weight descent mean?
I think it's because maybe the negative connotations of a cut.
You're not descending anything.
And they make it sound like, you know, it's like, oh, we're going fucking sledding. Let's all go descent down this hill together.
I go sledding. Yay. I live in Canada.
So this is another one of the things, like, they've never, none of these, I mean, going back to 151 and going back to, what was it, 176 or whatever, they never say it's canceled. It's always postponed. But it's 233 is never going to happen. It's canceled.
Where's that UFC 151 at?
I would love, how great would that be if, like, you know, again, like maybe like in 2019, it's like, you know, oh, now here's UFC 151.
What's his name? The Brazilian reporter who asked that question.
Diego?
Yeah, poor Diego, too. Like, literally.
I forget what Diego's last name is, but yeah.
Rivas?
Yeah, I think that could be it.
Diego didn't deserve to have that happen to him.
No.
But, sorry, carry on.
But he didn't. Anyway. I don't think he took it personal at all, because he realized that Dana was just saying something. The crowd, but it's funny, the crowd seeing that wants to be like, boo. I'm sure Diego was like, what the fuck are they booing about? Like, it's no biggie.
Let's talk about the press conference as a whole then. I mean, because now that we're getting into this.
Journalists getting abused?
Okay. All right. I mean, where do we want to start in this thing, right? Okay. So it did start out as an absolute shit show to begin with. The audio was messed up. And I hate saying that because we work intimately with a lot of these guys that set up the production. We know how hard they work. And for whatever reason, man, I mean, things happen. Hey, we
had a malfunction. I had my own audio issues.
Cold Coffee's video stream today had no audio on it at all.
For 21 minutes.
Wow. So it's a good thing there were 27 more minutes.
I know. What was awesome, though, is that some fucking diehard love you to death motherfuckers stayed on there, either reading lips or talking shit about me the whole time. Like, when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, the fucking audio. I'm like, I got to bring the stream down. I got to reset this thing. And I looked, and there were still like 150 people.
Shout out to the hardcore gangsters.
I was like, who the fuck is still watching this?
Like, I can't hear anything, but I just love MMA Junkie so much. Like,
they're like,
I
just want to sit in the chat and talk shit about this camera guy. I'm like, kudos to you.
Yeah, so the audio issues were tough. So that started out rough, which was probably like, I don't know, like a good like tie-in to 232, because the whole thing has just been like a problem. Like, it was probably, you know, it was good that it was problematic. It was, I should say, by the way, on a bright spot, a lot more fans than I thought were going to be there today.
Yeah, I would say good. Three times more than open workouts in New York.
Right.
Like, which was another bit of a, like, we forget a couple months later, but like that was a shit show card too.
Yeah.
But like that was in New York on the floor at Madison Square Garden. The most frustrating security that I've ever dealt with. And there were like 60 people there.
Oh, they're frustrating.
Oh, I hate them.
They're so bad.
I hate them.
They're so bad.
I literally, whatever.
One little old lady. She's not as bad when she like.
That bitch.
Yeah, she's like a fucking ball buster. Like, everybody else follows her line. But it's like, if she wants to like drop a hammer, it sucks. I hate that fucking
I'm just going to tell this story. I had a coffee and a cigarette on my walk over, which you guys don't smoke cigarettes. I had to use the men's room. And I got there and showed up at Madison Square Garden and had to wait 45 minutes. So I was like pretty much just like a sweaty, hot mess. And I got through security, which they made us line up. They made media line up with the fans to go through. So the fans were pissed. I was pissed. Everyone was pissed. And then we got there, and I could see the men's room. And I was like, I just got to use the men's room, like the washroom.
Like, please let me be.
Just let me just... Oh, no, it's a shit. and like it was
appreciate
like getting
bad. Appreciate
and they
real.
Literally were like, we're sorry that space isn't open for media, only the public.
What?
And I was like, I have like this is
I,
like
I am a human being.
Yeah, like this is a serious thing. Like, you just gotta let me, and they wouldn't let me go. Sorry, and I made it to the washroom. Let's be clear. I don't know if washroom's the Canadian term.
That's very Canadian
for shit room.
Yeah,
but I literally like by the time I got into like open workouts in New York, I'd like probably had 55 of the worst minutes of my life, and I was furious. So today was better.
That's the glorious life on the road. Yeah, no, listen, the crowd showed up today, and I will say...
they should have been more adult.
Well, okay, so I was going to say, to me, it was very reminiscent of a New York crowd. I will say, I've been, you know, adamant about this. I'm not the biggest fan of New York as a whole sometimes, but I love... the New York energy of crowds. Like, I love that they basically like heckled the press conference and stuff. And that's kind of what was going on there today. I mean, they were yelling stuff. And you know, when they were having the audio issues, there was some dude in the back that was like, turn up the speakers. I can't hear a damn thing. You know, that
was
awesome.
Great. I didn't hear that.
Oh, it was amazing. That was great. And the other good one was, and I don't remember what the line was that set it off, but I think it was John saying something
Jones,
about it. Yeah, and I don't remember what he said, but
he
somebody
said he couldn't ingest the minuscule amount of Turanabol.
That's what it was. And somebody
body.
Else, but because you snorted it, and he actually, I will say in a moment of probably the most comical moment to me, the whole thing, like John kind of gave this look like. Yeah, maybe.
I can see how that happened.
Like, I can totally
see
that could happen. So it was a wild print. So I will say kudos to L.A. And you know what's funny? I tweeted earlier because I had heard that that this thing is almost a sellout and that it's almost done. And you know, there's a couple hundred seats left, and they're playing sold out. And people
the price pointed it right.
They price pointed it. $300 is the most expensive ticket, which is amazing. Yeah. Where again, cage side was like $1,000 in Vegas. But it was funny because. A lot of people came at me on Twitter. They were like, "Ah, I can't believe you know that's such a stupid comment. Like, of course it almost sold out." And I'm like, "Dude, I don't know. To me, like, I'll be honest. I don't have the financial means to just like on a holiday week, especially
to be
like, you know what, man? Me and my wife are gonna go drop $500 on the fights this weekend. You know what I mean? Like, I can't do that. You know? So like the fact that on 3 days where the ticket sales they were supposed to sell, you know, it looks like they're gonna sell out the arena." I will admit I'm impressed by it, and I was kind of surprised that people came at me like I was an idiot. I mean I'm not surprised at that. Maybe I am an idiot, but I don't know. Like to me, it is still impressive. If they sell this arena out on 3 days, it is still impressive.
It's like it's one of the great stories of MMA fandom ever. And I will say what you were saying about New York. Like I've had some pretty bad weeks. Simon Head literally had to get me home after I was drugged before 199. Like, literally got, like, roofied at a bar.
That's a good story.
All of my stuff got stolen the next year with Matt Wells
and
Jose Youngs. Like, I've had
Why do you keep coming?
I don't know. But the fight nights are always... And, like, 199 is a bad night because of what happened with Ariel. Sure. But, like, the fights themselves
the fights
were
incredible.
The L.A. crowd, like, I feel like this is a city with 25 million people. And I love the Forum. I love the fight cards themselves. I wish the people would stop doing terrible shit to me every time that I was here.
That's funny. I forgot how much bad stuff had happened to you here.
This is nowhere. Just like I haven't had a good week in LA ever, and I want one. Like I want LA to accept me.
It's going good so far. It's going good so far.
It's been great.
It's going good so far.
It helps that we're staying at the airport. So like, there's not really.
Literally, by the way, this hotel is like. 4 minutes from the airport, if that. And that's because of traffic.
I'm sure that... Oh, no, I can. I can see a plane
taking
off.
Oh, yeah, you can literally see them taking off. All right, so let's talk about this press conference.
Can I ask...
So many ways. Yeah, you can ask whatever, because there's so many ways to tackle this thing.
Like, one of the biggest train wrecks I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. That's the thing is... Okay, so I'll say this. Kudos to Dana and, I guess, everybody for kind of understanding that, like, look... The press conference was going to be about drugs, period. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's no way around it. Like, it's going to be about drugs. And they didn't necessarily shy away from it. Again, Dana did say, I can't answer the technical stuff, but I think he's being pretty honest there. Like, I mean, he's not that educated in this stuff. As in the same way that Jeff Nowitzki probably can't talk about matchmaking that well. You know what I mean? Like, that's just not their specialty. So
you hire people to do that for you.
That's it. So I'm okay with that. I didn't expect him to be able to go through everything. But yeah, I was anxious to see what Alex's attitude would be, and I love the way that he answered because it was Anthony Walker who in the media day last week in Vegas was one that I was like, man, good kudos, that's a great, I hadn't even thought about that, where he was like, bottom line, Alex, do you think John Jones is a cheater? You know, and Alex was very much like, it's not really my place, you know, very political, very nice. And I thought, boy, now that this has happened, we got to rephrase it. Now we got to re-ask it. And so, you know, I asked him and right away said, yeah, he is, you know, and then they started going at it a little bit. And that's when the technical issues came in. It was frustrating, but I was interested to see what Alex's attitude was today. And he definitely seems annoyed. He definitely seems just...
And, like, when I say it was a train wreck, it was incredibly compelling. press conference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, so you started, you asked John.
Yep.
And he gave you his political John
right.
response. And then you asked Alex, and he was like, everything this guy says is bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, even before you asked him the yep. cheater question, he literally was just like, that was where I could immediately see. I was like, this guy just is sick of it.
Done.
And like, these two, like, it's one of the things that I love about this fight is it's one of those rare occasions where, like, at any point, had John been clean over the last 5 years, they could have pitted these guys against each other, and we would have been thrilled, right?
Right, right.
Like, we've been waiting for this fight for a long time, but we always kind of knew it would come when the time was right. I love it for that reason. But then he called him a cheater, and then somehow, this, like, very, like, generic MMA press conference comment where he was like, this guy's not confident unless he puts stuff in his body.
Yeah.
Turns into like a 30-minute point of discussion that John just can't let go of, even though he misheard it, asked Alex to re-say it.
I put it in my head.
Yeah.
Like, no.
And like, but like, I have never seen, and I've said this to you guys earlier, but maybe I'm overreacting to it, but like the way that John couldn't let that go was like almost disturbing to me.
Yeah.
He literally was so bothered by the fact that Alex was claiming, which everyone claims, like Cormier has said, like, oh, you're on drugs, that's why you beat me.
Right.
He hasn't really said it. But Alex, basically, that's what he said. He was like, you're a cheater. You're not confident unless you put stuff in your body, and that's what gives you the confidence. And John couldn't let it go.
So that's you know, you and I were talking before we sat down on the mic tonight, and you said, listen, I feel like John wasn't mentally right. Is that what you meant by that? Like, I didn't want to dig too far into it because I kind of wanted to find out. Like, I didn't want you to explain it all there because I wanted to kind of get into that here. Like, is that it? Like, you felt like it bothered him more than it should have?
It was weird because Gustafson never brought it up again.
Right.
But like 3 or 4 times later, John would be like, it's hilarious to me. Clearly not finding it funny at all.
like that is the opposite of hilarious. But
And like it got to him. It like that comment. I mean, and the only reason I'm saying it got to him, and I may look like an idiot in 3 days if John Jones just goes out and just absolutely looks incredible. I am not saying it's going to have any impact on the fight. I am like effectively talking about body language and what he did. But he literally was like deeply disturbed by the fact that Alexander Gustafsson seemed to be ignoring the evidence that Jeff Nowitzki and Dana had presented and was implying that, like, no, he's been a cheater the whole time. And it was only one comment that he couldn't hear and then deliberately misheard. And, like, I've just never seen, like, with Cormier can say whatever the hell he wants, and Jones basically, like, laughs it off and just insults him.
Right.
And he couldn't do that this time. He was obsessed over that one point.
It is interesting to me, like, to watch John today, the way that he was like, listen, I'm not upset about anything. It is what it is. You know, this part of my history, blah, blah, blah. But then he, like, kind of said, I'm almost angry that this came out. You know, and again, he said, I'm not taking swipes at USADA. I'm not doing that. But he's like, you know, this trace amount in my body was so minuscule that I don't think people should even be discussing it. You know, like, I can't even believe that was even brought up. And then Alex just chimed back, like, bro, you had stuff that's not supposed to be in your body, like, period.
And that's sort of the end of story.
Yeah.
Which, if, let us take John Jones and the UFC, and you sat at their word for a second. Let's assume that John Jones accidentally ingested a tainted supplement a year and a half ago, had to lose a year and a half of his career, got suspended for 15 months, had his name dragged through the mud, and through no fault of his own, there are still metabolites that are just lingering in his body, and he's now having to deal with this. We talked to Andrei Arlovsky, and I brought it up a second time because he said it, and he was like, John, he said it. He was like, John feels like everyone hates him.
Yep.
Of course this has been a really fucking hard week for him, right? Like, of course it sucks. If he actually didn't do anything wrong with that drug test, if it actually was dick pills before UFC 200, if he has actually never done anything, and I'm not saying that that's true,
I know,
and this comes out, that must be crushing. To just, like, be actually labeled a cheater when you've never cheated, and knowing that the third time, you're never going to escape it. If, and it's a huge if, he's actually telling the truth, John Jones, like, I fully sympathize with him because it's not fair what's happening to him.
That's the question, right? Like, I know, sir.
But how can we take him at his word, right?
So, okay, so you know what, man? Let's put everything aside. Let's put everything aside for just a second. All right? And I'm going to ask you a question that I don't even know that I know. At the end of the day, do you think that John Jones is a cheater?
Currently or in the past?
As a whole.
I don't know. I think of a cheater, I think of somebody that's actively doing it. I think, has he maybe messed up in the past? Sure.
So you think maybe he took something the first time and that maybe – so in your opinion, the science that you've heard, the thing that you've heard, like you buy into the fact that he's not currently ingesting anything. This is a long-form metabolite.
That I don't buy into.
So you think he's still cheating?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just – how it's been clarified to me, I would want to research further rather than just have like Dana and them sort of like stumble over it.
Yeah,
I would want it, but I don't. Also, I mean, if fancier science people are saying that, then who am I to say that it's not true? But I do believe that he probably has taken something in the past. You know, I think a lot of high level athletes have the money to take shit that gets in and out of your system, but if you get caught on the wrong time, I mean, like, I used to have a buddy that played in college sports, and the shit that even college athletes could get their hands on was so high grade, and I mean, and people were able to time that shit out, and I mean, athletes that have money that can actually bring somebody, and I'm not saying this is what he did, but I'm just saying, like, people can do this and fucking time their cycles, and they can take shit that knocks other levels out so it doesn't make it almost untraceable. So the fact that there were traces in there, whether it be an accident or not, it's just a little shady,
right?
You know, so I believe that there probably was an instance where he's made some mistakes in the past, maybe has taken something and got popped. But so in that sense, yeah, you could just say, yeah, he's a cheater. And as for right now, I would think he's got too much to lose to actively keep doing it. But
right,
and with that physicality and what he's able to be doing, I don't think he physically needs anything. That's, I mean, with it, what he's already have, what the fuck do you need to take something for? That's why I would want to lean on the side that he's not doing anything right now because he doesn't need to. He's too fucking young to be needing a lot of the assists that he's doing, and I don't know.
Maybe I'm foolish, right? And I will say, man, I'm probably one of the most, I don't say naive, but I guess I look for the positive side of things, I guess. I don't know. But to me, I don't believe John Jones is a cheater. I don't believe that he needs to physically. Right. I believe he's gifted physically.
Right.
I believe he is probably the greatest talent to ever compete in this sport, and I believe much of it is natural. Not to say that he's not a hard-working guy as well, but I believe he just has the tools. I don't believe he needs to cheat. Now, that said, knowing John, I know that he definitely parties, and he definitely doesn't worry too much.
That could be where a lot of it comes from, is just fucking partying.
And
you
maybe
never know.
Maybe it is illegal stuff. But and the other thing is too, I could see John like somebody just going like, bro, try this and see how you feel, and he'd just be like, fuck yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, do I believe? So that's the thing, is like, I believe that John Jones may have put something in his body that he shouldn't have. Like, I mean, obviously he did, right? Like,
right.
But I believe that it could have been, like, again, like, you know, he's always said it was a dick pill, it was this, and that's possible too. Knowing his lifestyle, knowing the way he lives, that is very, very possible.
Still too goddamn young for dick pills, son. How much sex you get? That poor wife of his.
But I could see somebody just being like, hey, bro, try this, you'll feel even better. And him going like, yeah, I'm down. Not real. Because I don't think, like, I don't think he thinks of the long-term implications. Like, I do not believe, you cannot convince me that John Jones has taken part in a high-level doping program. You know what I mean? Like, you can't convince me that
Ivan Drago shit.
Yeah, has done some Lance Armstrong, Ivan Drago, you know what I mean?
Like you said, he doesn't have the money to pay off if Lance Armstrong.
So what I got to do, I got to send you my urine at this point. You know what I mean? Like, cannot convince
me.
That
is pretty crazy, that shit. I've seen that study that guy did when he worked with the Russian guy to actually fool the system or whatever. And speaking about, like, even just like drugs, like back in the day when I used to do a lot of fun little drugs and stuff, I remember smoking weed. Somebody's like, oh, this is sprayed with this and this, and this is dosed with this and this, and here, take this pill. You know, this is ecstasy. It's got a little this, it's a little that. And I mean, like, who knows what the fuck, you know, we ingested. So, I mean, it could literally just be from just experiment with different fucking drugs that maybe doesn't want to admit drug use. Maybe thinks people will be afraid, you know, maybe likes to pop some ecstasy doped up with some other shit, you know? I mean,
but isn't the larger question, like, is that good enough? Like, is our lifestyle, like, I am not a judgmental person about drugs. Right. Go do recreationally whatever you want. Frankly, if you're not competing and earning money based on how much you're doing, I don't know, go do PEDs. Like, I don't, I genuinely don't care. But has John Jones earned just the benefit of the doubt at this point? Like,
no.
And this is my issue. Like, his problem started when USADA came in. That's undeniable. I'm actually not willing, just as a reporter, to necessarily give, like, a firm, do I think he's on drugs or not, answer. My issue is that, like, there is a lot of evidence that suggests that we should be suspicious of him. And in this particular case that we're dealing with, the UFC is coming in. Maybe that this is the right thing. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But they made a really, really big scene a couple years ago after Anderson popped. And it was Anderson and John's cocaine test, like sort of one and two, back-to-back, that really forced them to go with USADA. We forget how just, like, quick a reaction that was. They did it basically based on those two things, and it was a zero-tolerance policy and all that. And we've moved a long way away from that. And I do think that there's a debate to be had about performance-enhancing drugs in general and how they can be used in recovery. But John hasn't done anything to suggest that I should be giving him that benefit of the doubt. And
it's true.
Frankly, when USADA came in, he started testing badly. And the dick pills thing's not good enough for me. I think that there's a responsibility that comes with an athlete and stepping into any field of play, but particularly an octagon where you're being allowed to enact violence on another person. And I think we should expect better.
How fucking crazy is it, man? As you're sitting there talking about it, it's so true, man. I mean, John Jones is incredible, but, like, the mistakes that he's made and the decisions that he's made over his career. And, you know, we're now moving entire events, understanding the criticisms that's going to entail, understanding all that's going to happen for that, and that Demetrius Johnson, we're letting him go somewhere else. You know, a guy that's never done anything wrong. You know what I mean?
We talked earlier when we were having dinner that people hate Kamaru Usman because he said 30% and Dana White misinterpreted that comment.
Yep.
And it's now accepted as common fact.
Yep.
Like, what John's done, whether or not it was intentional, I think we should expect that our athletes not be smoking weed that might have dick pill shit on it. And, like, I don't know. Like,
That's some good shit. Smoke some weed and get fucking hard on.
This is, like, a guy who admitted that his manager did the drug testing, like, stuff online. Like,
that's kind of been swept under the rug. I remember that came out. Like, that should, I mean, what?
I'm sorry. He hasn't done enough for me to just say, like, I'm willing to
proclaim
him innocent. All
right. Yeah. So point on that point, let's go ahead. And again, I'm not just trying to insult John Jones. I mean, John, I think he's the greatest talent to ever do this. And, but man, we're all human beings. Trust me, I'm flawed as well. But let's talk about the interaction with the reporter today. Mm-hmm. What did you take from that? Because,
can we start with the obvious? She is Swedish. She asked questions directly. People from Scandinavian countries. I sort of thought that her questions, if you were watching it from the outside, she just asked the direct.
Okay, that's what I was gonna say.
They were problematic questions.
I didn't know how to phrase that properly, and you just did it. Like, I'm not trying to say, like, what John did was right, but I do, like, the questions were phrased, and I'm not trying to insult her. I'm not trying to insult her. English is her second language.
Yep.
So you're asking a second language. And again, you mentioned the Scandinavian, Swedish, kind of the way they do things. There's a reason that MMA Junkie Pear is as weird as he is, you know?
Loves Hooters wings.
Oh, I love some Hooters wings. Gosh, he loves Hooters wings.
First person ever to go to Hooters for reasons completely independent.
So, yeah, he's like, oh, there's women there? I never noticed before. It's just the chicken is phenomenal. Yes, the questions were – so that's why I didn't want to sit here and, like, either A, write John an excuse, or B, insult this reporter. And I had met her before. I can't remember her name, but I had met her before in some of the events in Sweden. And she works hard, man. I've seen her. Like, she hustles. She's good. But, yeah, the questions were kind of
– Oddly phrased.
Yeah, like, why are we here – Like, that's what we've been talking about is why we're here. You know what I mean?
I liked it. I liked her. I liked the direct approach. I thought it was tough questions, and she has nothing to be. The only question that got weird to me was her phrasing towards Cyborg's energy.
Which, like, was poorly phrased, though, right?
Right. That one I could feel like it was poorly phrased. Like, the other one just felt like it was a direct question. Like, why are we still here with this guy on the card? Why is he not suspended for 2 years? Like, to me, I mean, like, I read through that.
It's a wild question, but, like,
but it was direct. I mean, yeah. Like, it was a very tough question, but I can't fault her for that question because she asked a very hard question that is a valid question. So I had no problem with her.
And, like, potentially, she could have just been like, what the fuck are we talking about? Like, why are we here?
Yeah.
This guy's tested positive so many times. Like,
right.
That's realistic. Yeah, right, that's what she was.
That would have been like, right? The American, like, versus the stand up. Like, hey, guys, seriously, the fuck are we doing here?
Exactly. Yeah. But I do agree with you. Like, yeah. I do think what she was getting at was, like, inherently good. Like, I agree with what she did. I thought John was a fucking asshole to her. And I don't think he would have done. I don't know. I don't think he would have done it to a guy.
It's so weird. I guess that's what I wanted to get at, because right or wrong, like, John, bro, like, dude, like, is this the one time you could just let it go? Like, I want to say this. I had no problem with him saying next question. No.
Right,
dude, that is your right. Like, and I think that's what people need to understand. Like, dude, we have the right to be there as media, and straight up, every athlete on the card has the right to say next question
every time.
Next question. Yeah. Next question. Like, literally, there is no contractual obligation or moral obligation to answer our question. If that's what you want to do, if you want to do, you know, the I'm just here so I don't get fined, you can absolutely do that. In fact, you don't even have to say I'm here so I won't get fined, because there is no collective bargaining agreement. Nope. You won't get fined. You don't have to answer shit. And I didn't have a problem with John just saying next question.
Zero problem.
But why did you have to start? Why did you have to start basically, like, abusing her at that point?
It's where I thought that he was a little bit, when I, like, this relates back to what I was saying earlier. He was a little bit off. He seemed a little bit rattled today, and I'm not saying rattled. Like,
it definitely got under his skin. You could tell I think he was definitely still uncomfortable about the whole understanding of what the science was. So I think he was probably off, because he was probably let's just get to the end of this fucking presser.
But why didn't your, like, you had your crisis management PR person. I don't know how else to refer to them. I'm sure that that's not their actual title. There, I saw her. The same woman.
No, it is. When I Googled her name the first time she was there, because they were like, you all know so-and-so. Like,
No, we don't.
Literally, it's, her name is, okay, hold on. If your job is crisis management PR, shouldn't you not have that as your name? You know what I mean? Like,
because
that means you're only needed when there's crisis involved.
And clearly what she told him, because let's be honest, his main message today was, this was such a small amount that I could not have ingested it. But no one's saying you ingested a minuscule amount. What people are worried about is you ingested more and it hasn't left your system.
Yeah.
So that was her message to him. And everything else he wasn't prepared for.
Right.
And he clearly just took it out on this. I mean, I'll be straight up with you. I went up with her. The first thing I did was I went up and I was like, hey, just for the record, those questions were legitimate. I hope you're all right.
You only went up to her because she was cute.
And by the way, Danny Austin.
Danny Austin.
I will be honest.
Have you noticed my rainbow socks?
I would have been rattled in that situation had John done that to me.
Right.
I was legit, like, she was.
He probably would not have done it if it was a male. If it was a male reporter, he probably would have just been more dismissive. But he probably wouldn't. At least, I don't remember him saying anything like when Floyd dismissed Amber.
Well, he did that thing to Luke Thomas that one time.
I don't think he was. I don't think he was ever like. He didn't at least cross line. What he did this time, which I thought was getting borderline, when he was like. He was like, who is this girl? Who is this girl? I mean, he didn't at least do, like, when Floyd dismissed Amber. He was like. He was like, something, just be quiet, young lady,
right,
or something, and started then taking it down. The thing was like, okay, now you're just being wrong, you know.
I just have a feeling
that he can dismiss people, but he was very close to really crossing a line in the way that he was dismissing her. And I'd have to go back really and listen close to it, because I don't think he ever, like, made it like a sexist thing, but you could tell that he was being very dismissive of
her. It would have been an issue.
And when he started saying, like, oh, who is this girl? Who's this? You know, then he started, you could tell he was going that direction.
I didn't take it as sexist, but I did think it as, it just wasn't needed, man. It just wasn't necessary.
I didn't think it was sexist. I just, and you know what? Let's be honest.
male or female, John Jones could dominate all of us. So of I'm sure, like, yeah. He probably doesn't look at it that way. So that's unfair to assign to him, except that, like, I do think female reporters get given a harder time. So that's where my mind jumped while it was happening. She was fine. She kind of, like, seemed to laugh it all off at the end of it.
Yeah.
But, like, man, it was kind of just an asshole move.
I thought so, too. Completely unnecessary.
Like,
especially
forget all the politics. It was just a dick move.
If you're trying to... Well, yes, forget all the politics. But if you're trying to rebuild your image or you're trying to... It just...
He could have gave the same answer that he could have gave the same answers that he gave when you asked, like when you said people are always going to be coming up and bringing up the fact that you're a cheater. This is how are you going to deal with this? He could have took the same answer to why are you still here? You know, when you're causing this to other fighters, he could have did the same thing and just said, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, what happened to the other fighters. You know, we're working with the science to try to figure out what happened here and why it didn't happen. It's unfortunate that the other fighters' lives were disrupted before this. I apologize, you know, but we're going to try to move forward and have a good event.
I may be wrong.
You know, instead of just being like, you know, next question
sit
or
down.
Sit down, girl,
take
or
the
whatever.
Mic from
yeah, he's like, sit down. She's like, I'm already
she's
sitting.
She's like, I'm already sitting. I couldn't hear that live, but I went back and
I was
heard
like,
it. Like, I'm already
I was like,
sitting.
Yeah, you are.
Good for you, girl. Good
get him.
But like,
get him.
I may be wrong about the order, but like the asterisk question is like just as like offensive to him as anything else.
Right.
And he answered that like no problem.
That's true.
Gave us insightful, smart answer.
That's true.
Like thought about it. Like John had his moments today where like, but he also just my honest opinion is that he knew that he cost money to everyone on the card, and this is a really awkward week.
Yeah,
and it's kind of gotten to him that like he just can't seem to catch a break.
And by the way, so when I talked to him on the phone the other day before we came down here, he said like literally I apologize to every fighter I ran into today. I actually talked to some UFC staff today that said he's literally been walking up to UFC staff and apologizing to them and going like, dude, I'm so sorry, I know you had to work extra. So I mean, behind the scenes, John Jones is talking to people and doing the right thing. So all right, dude, I don't know if we've ever talked about a fight for an hour like this, man, about one fight. Let's talk about Saturday night. Not necessarily a prediction, but let me ask. I mean, you know, tomorrow's we always do, it's Thursday night, so tomorrow morning's the weigh-ins. You know, tomorrow will be kind of a quiet day for media terms, whatever. Then Saturday, you know, then we get the fight. I mean, all this is – I mean, it's one of the craziest weeks in MMA history, right? I mean, there's no question about it. Like, this, just the way this whole thing has unfolded, it is one of the most bizarre weeks in MMA history. When it comes down to Saturday night, you know, I see some people saying, I'm not going to watch that shit. I'm not going to buy it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, and it's so weird because, you know, we talk about good things and bad things for the sport, but, like, this is a badass fight, right? I mean, this is a badass fight, and these two dudes – are dialed in, man. John Jones has something to prove. Alexander Gustafsson has something to prove. I mean, with all that's happened, are you like going to show up on Saturday night and be like, I can't believe I have to cover this. Like, I'm here because it's how I collect my paycheck. Or are you going to be, as they're walking to the cage, rubbing your hands together going, so here we go.
You can confirm this story because you're literally the only character other than me involved in it.
Right.
On what, Sunday night?
Right.
The news broke. I was in Toronto with my family. I was out drinking heavily.
Right.
With my buddy Bark, and it broke, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, it all worked out. This has not been a huge inconvenience for me. I called my boss. I was like, can I go? I gotta go LA instead of Vegas. It's gonna be a couple hundred dollars more. And he was like, yep, go. And then I wrote you, and I was like, yo, how the hell do I do this? Not for a single second did I consider the fact that I wasn't going to be here, cover it, love it. I love this fight so much.
Yep.
You wore your good socks for it.
I wore my good socks for it. I think Alexander Gustafsson is the toughest matchup for John Jones. I personally think Alexander Gustafsson is probably going to win this fight. I love this fight. This is like why I watch MMA.
Yeah.
I'm not happy. We can't say that we're okay with them switching it to LA because we're all paid to be here.
That's right. Like we weren't. I mean, yes,
we weren't personally.
I had to leave my house, and you know what I mean. Yeah. Like, yes, it was a slight inconvenience that I had to. I'm not with my family right now, but I wouldn't have been spending that much time with my family anyway. It would have been worth it.
So,
yeah, and it cost me zero money out of pocket. You know what I mean? It cost my company money, but that's it. So
I'm secretly thrilled. You know, yeah, I'll say it. I feel awful, and I really, really, really do. I feel terrible for the people who can't be here or who spent money.
Absolutely.
I can make the argument that if you didn't have the extra $500 to come to L.A., probably shouldn't have flown from Sweden to watch this fight anyways because
so
you
wrong.
Should be making savings.
Right.
But I'm so happy that this fight is happening on Saturday.
Yep.
I'm like, just in terms of like me loving the sport and me loving both John Jones and Alexander Gustafsson as fighters, and I do not think either of them are bad people. I do
right.
not think John Jones is a bad guy. I think he's a guy who makes mistakes. And I make mistakes. I'm so happy that I get to watch these guys fight. I'm so happy. I can't wait.
Cole Coffey, you're never afraid to voice your criticism when you think some of this shit. So I want to ask you the same thing. I mean,
I never criticize.
When this fight happens, and it's so funny you say that, Danny. It's so weird. I mean, when you literally put John Jones's resume on paper, it's like, what a piece of shit. But I don't think he's a piece of shit. I just think he's a.
He's done some silly,
stupid
shit.
Stuff.
And like, he's done stuff that
the accident still is ranked super high on
the
list of
is the wreck,
things.
Yeah. and then sprinting back to grab stuff from the car and leaving again and not check. That's the worst.
Yeah,
that's worse than drugs. That's worse than yeah.
And that's something that's the one that I can say that I don't think I would do, but I also understand panicking, and I also understand like. He fucked up, and I'm willing to forgive. Like I think John Jones is a good enough guy. That's all I'm saying, is I don't think he's a bad human being.
All right, so Cole Coffey, with all the bullshit that's going on and everything that's happened around this, walking into Saturday night, I mean, you're – by the way, I mean
– I'll be working in the back by the time –
You'll be working in the back. But by the way, I was going to say, I mean, you know, you're – I was going to say you're a fan of the fight game, and I don't mean a fan so much as an absolute expert – As the, I mean, is it? It's clinched up at this point, right?
I don't know. No,
did
it's
you
close.
Clinch the
it's
championship?
After this event, will be clinched. I think.
Cole Coffey is the 2018 MMA Junkie Picks champion.
I think.
Can you
I think
imagine?
So. Let me take a bow. Let me take a bow.
I hope I didn't curse right there.
I know. I think I have a nine. I have a nine pick lead. Over the second place.
With 11 fights left.
Or 10.
No, because there's five for UFC.
See, now you're just jinxing me.
And then six for PFL.
Six for the PFL.
Do you add just, like, symphony music for the entire time that you talk, this entire podcast?
Oh, yeah.
I think you should have it.
I should.
Like the Jurassic Park music, just in the background.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah. That's a good one. I kept having fucking going, back. To Cali in my head earlier, but that doesn't really make sense for like epic pick music.
No,
but
no.
But I am excited. I am super excited for this fight. But yeah, as for like you know when the you know the walkout like all that shit, I'll be working my hands. You know, I'll be working edits at that point, and I'll probably right before
working
the fight stop, I'll stop to like finally watch this. I'll actually probably try to make it so I can stop to watch. The previous fight, so hopefully if that's some crazy shit, I'll either be coming down from excitement from the Cyborg Nunes fight to get amped up for this one. But no, I mean, I'm excited to see. I mean, I know that Gustafsson has gotten a lot better, but I also feel like the first fight was the version of Jones that wasn't giving his all in training. He wasn't preparing the right way.
No question.
So I'm looking forward to Jones coming back and being pretty devastating too. So, our staff picks hadn't went out. I already gave it to our patron people. So
damn
I don't
right.
mind saying that. Yes, I am leaning for Jones on this one. I think, as close as it was, I think if anything, it's going to be absolutely incredible. But I still think that Jones, if he's doing like what I know he can do, I don't see anybody stopping him.
Right.
I think Gustafsson will give him a good run for his money, but I think Jones still is just Such a fucking incredible athlete.
I'm intrigued, man. I can't wait for this fight, despite all the bullshit. All right, listen. We've never spent this much time talking about one fight, but the everything around the fight is incredible. I mean, this has become – it was already an intriguing fight, but this week made it even more intriguing. Let's just real quickly. Main card, Chris Cyborg, Amanda Nunes – a legit women's super fight. I mean, potentially,
it is a super fight.
Potentially the greatest women's fight of all time. Yeah, it's a legit super fight, not being talked about much. Michael Chiesa making the move up to 170 pounds facing Carlos Condit. Michael Chiesa, dude, just, I mean, looking like a brand new human being, not cutting down to 155. Corey Anderson, Ilir Latifi, a big fight there. Ilir Latifi, of course, has been involved in all this madness, you know, in an intimate way as well. Chad Mendes versus Alex Volkanovski. That is a massive fight at 145 pounds. You got the old guard with Chad Mendes, who's kind of coming back. Alex Volkanovski, who's saying, you know, I'm the new wave, and I'm gonna get something done. We'll start with you, Danny. Out of this main card, give me a storyline or a fight that you're most excited about.
I will preface it by saying that I was so glad Amanda Nunes was on stage today, because she just brought a different energy. And in all those moments where I was like, how am I watching 45 minutes of this sport just like spiraling towards an abyss? She kind of was like there. And like, even when she was arguing with a cyborg, she's just a delightful person.
Yep. She's a good person.
I also left. I literally got off the treadmill 9 minutes after I saw you, because she came in and started working out. And I was like, I can't allow Amanda Nunes to see how out of shape I am. So I left the gym 9 minutes in. Honestly, I will say that I think the Volkanovski-Mendez fight.
Boy, that's a big one.
I was a big believer in Jeremy Kennedy before he fought Volkanovski, and Volkanovski absolutely trucked him.
Right.
Yeah.
I think Volkanovski, like, he was a rugby player, I believe.
Yeah, he was.
I just think that he's one of those like next level athletes where, you know, here we all like look at an NFL guy and we're like, you know, what can they bring when they bring that athleticism? And I think Volkanovski is on that level. I love Chad Mendes too, though. Yeah, so this is just one of those fights where, like, I love the fights where you're like, look, the guy proves that he's a contender, or he proves he's got more work to put in. And this is the fight.
It's a perfect fight, man. It was funny when Volkanovski. I remember when Volkanovski, because I was at that card, obviously, up in Boise, Idaho, and Alex Volkanovski was calling for Chad Mendes. That's right, Boise. Was calling for Chad Mendes, and I was like, well, that's not going to happen, but good on you. And then it did happen. I'm like, you know what? This fight is perfect, man. As you said, it's the established guy versus the new guy.
There's nothing wrong with Volkanovski losing this fight, right?
Right. Like, yeah, it doesn't set you back, you know, exponentially. It says, hey, you're 5 or 6 or 7. You're not there. What about Cole Coffey?
So who are you picking in that one?
I'm picking Mendes.
Yeah, I'd pick Mendes as well.
I did not pick Mendes.
Yeah, you went with Alex?
I went with Alex. I think as much as I know that Mendes has been the guy at the top of the division before he went away and took his time off, I just think the striking of Volkanovski, I think he's just a fucking beast. He's on another level. I think he's going to probably KO him. Maybe second round or something.
Is he fighting for a title in the next 18 months?
Alex?
Yeah.
He should be.
Yeah,
okay. If he this will be the one that probably keeps him on his trajectory going up.
If he beats Chad Mendes, he's
a beast.
He's probably getting a number one contender's fight, depending on what's happening in that division.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I guess it kind of depends on, is Max Holloway.
That'll be six fights in a row.
I'm not saying he gets
that.
A title fight next.
No, but, I mean, he's screaming at the door. I mean, if he makes an impressive, especially if he finishes Chad, he's got to be knocking on the door.
At that point, I mean, I know we had Ali Abdelaziz on MMA Junkie Radio this week, and he believes that Frankie Edgar should be next for Max Holloway. Whether that happens or not, we'll see. We have Aldo and Moicano happening. At the very worst, you'd have to say if Volkanovski wins, he should face the winner of Aldo Moicano, right?
That'd be a good one.
Either he should face Frankie Edgar,
Or he should
face the winner of, because if the winner of Aldo
all
Moicano
are,
if the winner of
ones.
Aldo Moicano gets Holloway, which you got to think if Aldo wins, there's no way he gets Holloway again, right? You couldn't do that. So if something happens there, you got to think if Volkanovski wins, he either gets Frankie Edgar,
that'd be a fun one,
or he gets Aldo, or he gets
Moicano.
I guess Aldo, because if Moicano wins, Moicano probably gets Holloway.
And if he beat either of those guys, you got a title shot.
Yeah, so it's a number one contender shot next. All right, so is that the one you're looking forward to in the main card?
That one is probably the one, but you know, I don't want to talk too much about it because you did pick that one. I would say, if anything else, is this the end of Carlos Condit you know, yeah. the Michael Chiesa. So that's another one I want to see. I mean, because I want to say Carlos is on a four-fight losing streak. Most guys are already cut by at this point, but that's just a testament to, one, the guys that he's fought and lost to, but also he just brings it. But, you know, we've seen him time and time again where, you know, he's like – doesn't seem to have the energy, doesn't seem to have his heart. And that last time he was like, no, I'm back, I'm into it, you know, and then he didn't have his way. So it'd be interesting to see what his take is. We didn't get to see him at all this week. So, you know, we didn't really get a chance to
test his
brain.
You knew he wasn't
going to
come down to the voluntary media.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Knew he wasn't going to come down. Knew BJ Penn wasn't going to come down.
Because they'd get the same questions, you know, like, is this it? You know, I mean, what's going to happen? So I'm kind of interested to see how that plays out, you know. Chiesa said he's happy at that weight. You know, you said he looks good. I mean, he's just so slick, and his submission's good.
He's
so
big.
He's a big dude.
Dude, how big
was Cyborg, though, standing in front of Nunes?
It's so funny, though, when you see guys for the first time not depleting themselves, and you go like, holy shit, you're huge, dude. Like, Michael Chiesa is
not a small welterweight.
Oh,
yeah.
That's true, too. But
his beard is
strong.
I was, like, looking at his beard. I was just like, man, look how thick and healthy that beard is. I had a little beard envy because mine gets all spotchy and stuff.
We've gone to a fair number. Like, I've mostly seen Michael Chiesa, like, at comedy shows in Vegas that we've all we've all gone to. And
shout out to Adam Hunter. Shout out to Adam Hunter.
But, like, he's, like, one of the coolest guys in the entire organization and then sucked during fight week because he was cutting so much. But, like, he has been a guy, and I swear on my life, I'm sure that I've never said this on air, but I've never understood why he was fighting at 155.
He's huge.
I've never understood it. Like, this is such a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Why, like, go up to 170.
And he's going to look big next year. I think he's not going to look undersized at all.
He's one of those guys who I actually think, like, we could be talking about as a contender in a year or two.
It's true.
This would be a good test to see how he does. I mean, because Carlos,
I saw you, like, as we were filming the scrum, I saw you shaking your head, you know, when he was talking about the fact that, man, I saw guys like Whitaker and I saw guys like Anthony Smith, and he's like, I just realized I need to do that. Yeah. It was funny. I could see you going, yep, God damn it, yep.
So that's probably the other one. I'd have to pull
He also gave the best answer. Like, I think we pretty much every fighter who came through media, like the optional media availability, we asked how they'd been affected. And his answer was incredible because he went on for about a minute and he kept being like, none of this makes what happened okay. Yeah. But, like, we've got to just move on for now. He was like, we'll go back to it, which was – he said that was kind of implied.
Right.
But he was like, I'm not okay with what happened. But what is the point of talking about it right now?
Right.
Like, well, let's just move on.
Yeah, and he's got other shit that he's juggling as well with the whole civil cases and other stuff. So, you know, you wonder where his head's at, too. I thought that when I was thinking about it, I was like, I wonder how much his head's into it. But I could also see where – when it deals with, like, legal stuff, there's nothing you can really do. You're probably so frustrated. You probably want to dive into your workout. So he's probably been really energized to get in there. You know, I've seen some clips, you know, and some pictures, you know, from where he was at the PI and stuff. And he looks like he's had some good training. So that should be a really, really good fight. So
this main card's sick, man.
It is. And I just don't feel like – I feel like we've glossed over the Cyborg Nunes thing, but I know we could talk literally an hour about that one. I am excited about that because Nunes is the one fighter that people said she has the power and she has the cardio that can push Chris. Chris just has that strength, though. I mean, when I saw the size of them squaring off – it is so hard to discount the fact that Amanda's cranking her head back to look up into the face of Cyborg. And Cyborg is just so damn thick that if she can control that muscle and she doesn't burn out, and that's where Amanda, I think, has the best opportunity to literally just clench against her, keep her up against the cage, let some of that energy burn, let those acids build into those big muscles, and then just separate and just pound on her. I mean,
see, that's the thing is, and I think you're right about that, because I think what makes this intriguing is that Amanda Nunes does have the power to compete with Cyborg. She does. But at the same time, if you're game planning, you know, you don't say, hey, Amanda, just jump into the pocket and start throwing.
Just start standing. You know what I mean? You got power that'll hurt her.
You got no. You can't do that. Like you still. I mean, you still have to be strategic, right? I mean, it's still as you said. Let's try to wear on her. Let's try to make those big muscles work. Let's try to grind her down a little bit.
Just hook her and like
maybe
we
can get her to the ground. Maybe we can get to the top position. Like
force Cyborg to try to get under hooks and just work those arms constantly.
Amanda at her best stays compact, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's the one thing that Cyborg like does tend to throw some pretty looping, incredibly powerful shots. But the way to hold on to those is just get behind your fist and just block.
Yeah.
And
but we've seen Cyborg knock people out even with a glancing, not even a clean shot. That's the power of Cyborg, especially early on. Even if she doesn't get a clean shot on somebody, she's been knocking girls out and doing like damage. And like and they you see it like right after the first couple shots when they make that face like, what am I doing in here? This is not fun. We won't see that from Amanda.
You see that oh shit face in every Cyborg fight.
All the time, over and over.
Oh, God.
And this is not a but. I fully agree with you. But Amanda Nunes has been wrecking people. The only person she hasn't wrecked is Shevchenko.
And Shevchenko's legit.
Exactly.
Right.
Like, and like Holly Holm made it through those rounds. Too like
right
like against right. the top level bantam the only top level bantamweight that we've
right.
seen
right
she didn't do it and Amanda like didn't take this fight on short notice. I respect her for being like I'm adding the muscle I'm like putting on the mass.
She's got a good team behind her. They're smart. It's a smart team.
I love this fight. It just didn't relocate a card to a different state. So it's like hard to talk about as much as we talked about the Jones fight.
Yeah, so true.
It's hard to psychoanalyze.
This fight deserves more attention than it's getting.
But
it could literally steal. I mean, this one could be more competitive and a funner fight than the Jones and Gustafson because everybody expects that the Jones Gustafson is going to be another one just back and forth. Let's be real. One of those guys could run away with that fight easily.
Yep.
This one, if this one goes and it is actually competitive, I will be more intrigued to see how this one plays out because the if factor of what Amanda can bring. Cyborg, in my mind, is such a dominating force that I almost just, without even thinking, I'm like, Cyborg's going to win.
Well, and what's
funny this is the one time where you're just like, I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I think because you guys, like have covered the sport outside of MMA. You guys have that history with Cyborg a little bit more than I do. Or sorry, the sport outside of UFC. Yep. Yeah. For me, like one of the genuine like revelations over the last couple of years, Ronda lost that belt, and then Misha beat Holly, and Amanda beat Misha, and I was 100% convinced. I was like, okay, it's going to be chaos for the next couple of years.
Right.
Like it's just the belt's going to bounce around. The best fighter. But, like, no, Amanda was just that good.
Yep.
That she just, like, she has been, to me, she's been one, like, her and Max have kind of been the ones, well, I mean, and obviously Habib. But, like, there have been she's been among the fighters who I've just been like, oh, they look unbeatable for the last couple of years.
Because she hasn't peaked yet, I think, is the thing with her. Like, I think a lot of fighters, they get that, they get the belt near a point where they almost sort of plateau for a little bit. And then the rest of the division sort of catches up to them. She, just like what DJ did for the longest time, was peaking and still peaking further and just leaving the division. Amanda right now has looked better than ever. She's fighting her best fighting right now. Same thing with like Shevchenko. Shevchenko's fighting her best fighting right now. So it's going to be tough for people to catch up to her as well. It's just I even with that, I just feel that it's going to come down to the – it's just the power level. I think if she can wear down Cyborg, I think she has every possibility to win this. But I just think in terms of power punching, I think Amanda's number two. Mm-hmm. But I think the gap between the number two and the number one at the beginning of a fight with Cyborg, that's like Francis Ngannou in there. Like people, like Francis is not going to
do
that.
I do hope they get
through
a little firefight. Like I don't think,
and they will.
I don't think Amanda can just say, "Hey, listen, I'm just going to bite down on my mouthpiece and I'm going to start throwing, and we're going to see who goes down first."
But she won't be afraid.
You know what I mean?
She won't be afraid if it does happen.
But I hope there's a couple good exchanges.
And boy, that'll be something. I would love to see the look on Cyborg's face
if
she
gets
makes
wobbled.
A good, or that she makes a good contact and Amanda just smiles and just delivers another right back into
and
just
rock
her.
To be in trouble once,
right,
and to see like. Because, I mean, there's nothing more frustrating than when you got your opponent in trouble and you can't finish them.
Yep.
And then they come back. Like, I want it to be that type of fight because I think that they're both so world class
yep.
that, like, I don't know. I just,
It can't. I mean, I think that's why Cyborg's been working on her cardio so much, because what happens with her, she's like, at the beginning of the fight, she's like superhuman level. She's gone Super Saiyan. She's got the golden hair. She's doing
round
it.
One Mike Tyson. Tyson's punch out.
But once she starts getting tired, then she becomes more human, and that's where someone like Amanda, if Cyborg comes down to human levels against Amanda, Amanda's going to throttle her. So Amanda just needs to tire her and bring her down to normal. If Cyborg maintains, and if her cardio, if she's been working like what I think she has been, and she can maintain it further into the fight, if she can maintain a high level easily for the first three rounds and then maybe gut it out and still just have power in those last, the championship rounds, nobody can stop her. But, I mean, it's the matter of, can she go through three rounds solid, you know, and make it to that point? Because at that point, she usually damages somebody. Yep. The thing with Amanda can clearly go hard all five rounds. It's just she's going to have to stay away from taking that damage. So that one, just to me, it's so intriguing, because that fight,
had it not been for this bizarre relocation, it wouldn't have been financially huge, but it would have been intriguing.
But
man,
we're also hardcores. Like, I have no problem that I would buy this. I don't know if the general public would buy it, but I think for people that understand the sport and understand what each of these two women are bringing in, like, this is a legit women's super fight. Like, this is as good as it gets.
This is not the point of the podcast for me to start arguing with anybody. But Cyborg did headline the New Year's card last year.
Yeah.
Like, let's not, like, forget that. Yeah. Like, she, like, was considered a big enough star a year ago.
True.
To, like, at the very least, like, get them over the finish line.
True.
Yeah.
And we don't know the factors that don't involve that. But, I don't know. For me, honestly, it's since Holly and Misha Tate, we haven't had a genuine classic women's title fight.
Yep.
And that's not for lack of fights below the title fight picture. But, like, it's time for us to get, like, that fight that we're talking about in 20 years.
I think this is it. This is it. I mean, even when they were offering Megan and Cyborg, I was stoked about that fight.
Yeah.
I'm so much more stoked for this fight. Like, that fight doesn't even register on the radar anymore. Like, this fight is as good as it gets. Y'all knew what I was going to say there, right? When I said as good.
I will say, credit to Megan for just, like, respecting the importance of doing media reps.
Right? She said it was it. All right, let's talk about Megan. So we'll start with you, Cole Coffey, the FS1 prelims. Some interesting fights here. Andre Arlovski, Walt Harris, Megan Anderson versus Kat Zingano, Douglas Silva DeAndre versus Peter Yan, Ryan Hall versus BJ Penn. I mean, so many things to go there. Ooh. First of all, I'm torn. Andre Arlovski and Walt Harris might be two of my favorite human beings like in this sport. So for them going against each other kind of sucks. Megan Anderson, Kat Zingano, a great fight at 145, assuming, you know, I mean, I think Kat Zingano, I think she's going to look better at 145, if I'm being honest with you. I think she's going to look good there. Douglas and Peter should be an absolute barn burner. Peter, by the way, is still saying he wants to fight John Lineker. Of course, all kinds of intrigue around Ryan Hall versus BJ Penn.
Yeah.
You know, I did speak to some people behind the scenes that said, you know, they do hope this is BJ's last fight. And basically, from what I understand, the UFC brass sees this thing the same way that all of us do, that the only reason they were willing to make this fight is that, like, Ryan Hall is probably not going to knock you out. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to have to jiu-jitsu you. And by the way,
crazy jiu-jitsu.
If Ryan Hall and BJ Penn turns into a jiu-jitsu match, like, literally, if they walk out and they just slap hands, fist bump, and they go down to the ground and start butt scooting, I'm down with that shit, dude. I'm totally down for that.
I guarantee the crowd will lose their mind.
They would be so pissed off. They just want to grapple. But all right, Cole Coffey, out of those four on FS1, a fight you're looking forward to, or just a storyline that you're pumped about?
Well, I am intrigued with the Hall Penn fight, just because I, you know, BJ has been around for so long in the sport. I want him to have a good showing, but if I had to pick a fight, I'm going with the ladies, hands down.
Yeah.
I think that fight is awesome, and both those women are incredible. Not hard to look at either, but they're also badass fighters. I mean, the Arlovski and Harris fight, yeah, that's great. I'm not too familiar with Dan Drod and Peter. I don't have a grasp of their main history. I know it's a good fight, but if I had to pick out of all four,
you don't grasp Peter.
Often, but you know,
that's a good fight. I think on paper it should be a fun fight.
It should be fun, but if I had to pick one that I'm like, I can't wait to see It'd be the top two of those, Orlovsky and Harris. I think that's going to be incredible. Oh, yeah. But Anderson and Zingano is my pick.
I'm gutted for Orlovsky and Harris. I can't pick a guy. I love those
nose,
guys.
Man.
I love those. Oh.
I don't want his nose to take
God
any more
bless
damage.
Andre
did
Orlovsky's
it get
nose.
Worse since the last time yes, we've
it,
seen
it
him?
It just depends on what angle you're looking at it from.
I was looking
I'm
directly
looking
from
the straight
the
on from his face, not behind his head. Like
it's like it's a reverse C, basically.
And yeah. Like, it's legitimately like. This is the worst thing to do on a podcast because I'm going to describe something.
Right.
But if you ever look at someone fully in profile, their nose goes out about, like, I don't know, like 4 centimeters past the edge of their forehead.
We've already lost none
and
of our readers.
Is, I know.
Viewers know what a centimeter is.
We're in
is.
The metric system, America. Like, Jesus Christ.
I mean, nobody uses the metric system.
But, like, literally, his nose is, like, almost half an inch. It doesn't go out as far as his forehead.
Yeah.
Like, it's just completely flat. I've never seen anything like it. And, like, it just looks like he must be in constant pain. Like, it, like, I found it hard to look at today.
It
I
is.
Legitimately it's... was like, forget the curve. I was just like, I don't know how you breathe right now.
I was going to say, if anything, it's probably, like, very congested. And, like, it's like a, just makes you wonder that if he actually did the surgery to straighten it, he'd probably have a better performance because he could probably breathe better. But let's be real. When he's in there fighting, he's probably breathing through his mouth anyways. I mean, like, yeah. When you're – who's tried to run? I mean, they always tell you, breathe through your nose. I'm like, halfway through, I'm like
– let's be clear. Like, I smoke, so, like, breathing, it's hard for me no matter what.
But, yeah, his nose taking some damage, man. But that should be a lot of fun. Walt Harris, I mean, how can you not like Walt Harris?
I love the big ticket.
Can I just, like, side note on Walt Harris? Like, as you know, we're talking. We all got our laptops out. We're just checking things, making sure we don't say anything stupid. I legitimately had no idea that Walt Harris fought for Bracy over Doom. I literally went and I looked. And
don't
I was
you
like,
remember that was the one that happened, like, on the way to the arena, like, the day of? They had the shuffle and everything?
Like, literally, no. Like, I watched this entire card. I can tell you everything about, obviously, DJ and Ray Borg. Kevin Lee, Tony Ferguson, like, I looked at this card, and I remember, like, everything, and I'm like, we're Doom Harris. No memory of that.
UFC 216.
I literally remember, like, my Lee. Thoughts on Dariush and Evan Dunham, and being like, I'm not sure that's a draw, like, but I have no idea.
Well, we have clearly reached the point of the podcast where it's time to wrap up. Danny, anything on the prelims that you're most stoked about?
I mean, like, I genuinely think the Megan Anderson and that's incredible. I mean, this is a main card. Like, this the top five are amazing. There's interesting fights.
Yeah, even Fight Pass is good. This is a good card.
It's a really damn
good
card.
It sucks that there's
all
like a cloud
out.
Over the whole thing, you know, and the way it moved. But
I
hands down, this
it,
is
like,
a really good card.
I really like Curtis Melander.
Yep.
I'm not necessarily...
We're big fans of Brian Kelleher. Yeah,
I love that.
Jackson's good.
There's a bunch of like good stuff. I'll be honest with you, the Ryan Hall, BJ Penn thing, for those of us who only cover the sport on the road once a month, that isn't that interesting to me. Like, it's a fun fight that I'm not going to tell my buddies to rush out.
But it could legit be the last time BJ Penn steps in the octagon as well. So when you think about that,
my problem
in terms,
is that that's like I sort of thought that about the Yair fight.
Right.
I just wish he'd never come back.
Yeah.
So, it's a
that's why I treat like I every miss, BJ Penn miss, fight now like yeah. it's his
I
last. Time.
I missed that we didn't get. So I had requested for us to sit down with BJ Penn.
Yeah.
And then when it became the voluntary media day, like, I knew there was no way he's going to show up. But I kind of wanted to talk to BJ just because remember that week with Yair where, like, we went to Phoenix knowing, like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
Yair's just going to kill him. And then we sat down with BJ and we were like, bro,
started believing.
He's got me feeling it, dog. He's got me feeling it. You know, yeah. I'm like, maybe. And kind of wanted to talk to him just so I could feel it a little bit because, I don't know, man. I just pray it turns into a jiu-jitsu match, man. I'm not trying to talk shit about BJ Penn. He's a legend. You know what I mean? But obviously, man, this game is evolving, and these younger kids are coming in and all these things. And, you know, from what I understand, BJ doesn't need money or anything like that. I mean, he just loves this shit, you know. Yeah. But I think that's why I wanted to just talk to him this week and feel his passion and feel his energy because, to be honest with you, I'm just kind of scared, man. I don't know, man.
He's 40 years old.
He's 40 years old, man. You know what I mean? It's just you know, it's, you know, when you're 40 years old and you're the prodigy, you know what I mean? Like, that means you've been doing it for a long fucking time.
Yeah.
And
coach. Coach. Yeah. Coach.
All right, well, listen, it's been fun, fellas. We didn't play no audio. We didn't get to nobody. We just talked about some shit.
For an hour and almost 40 minutes.
Jesus. So I apologize if that pissed anybody off. I don't know if people wanted to hear from the
We'll try to do a post, how about to make it up and they want to hear interviews, we'll try to do a post show.
A little and a half.
And then we'll throw some post fight audios.
I'm down.
Up in that mix.
In the meantime, let's get to some of these PBRs. We got plenty. Thanks for listening.
Peace. We'll be right back.